So I want to ask you this morning, what motivates you to come to church? There's many motivations, good motivations. You could be here for friendships. You could be here because you want to learn something new from God's word. You could be here because you truly do want to be equipped and sent out as an influence for the sake of the gospel, wherever you're at. What brings you to church? What motivates you to be here? And the reason why I want to bring this up is because motivation, our motives, come from our heart. And this morning we're going to talk through Matthew chapter 15, verses 15 through 20, as we talk about what is your heart like. What is your heart like is the title for our sermon this morning. And now, as you're turning there, if you're curious why I'm talking about an organ in the body on a Sunday morning at church, here's why. The Bible speaks about the heart, but it speaks about it in a different kind of way. When the Bible talks about the heart, here's what it's considering. There's a guy by the name of Dr. Thomas Constable, and he's a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary, and he defines the heart as this when it comes to the Bible. The heart is the seat of thought and will in mankind, and it's evil by nature. So the heart has to do with the thoughts and desires in us. And because of original sin, because of what Adam and Eve did in the garden, because they rejected God's rule and reign over their life and instead wanted their cravings, they brought sin into the world. And sin has affected everyone from every generation ever. Sin has affected us, and we have sinful hearts. We're prone to wander, as the song says. We're prone to sin. And we need the work of Jesus to change our hearts. So go with me to Matthew chapter 15. We're going to read verses 15 through 20. The text says this. But Peter said to him, "Explain the parable to us." And he, being Jesus, said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes through the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands, this does not defile anyone." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, today I pray that you would speak loudly to us. That we will not be able to shake your truth. We will be not able to cover it up or put a wall as a fleshly defense mechanism against what you want to do in our hearts. But God, I pray right now that you would invade our minds. You would invade our hearts. And God, we would leave here changed, conformed, be more and more like you because of the preaching of your word. Not anything that I can do, God. But everything that you do through the power of your spirit, through your inspired word, can do. God, I pray that you would teach us, that we would be alert and focused on what you have to say this morning. We love you and pray all this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. So let me set the stage for why Jesus is having this conversation with Peter and his disciples. Here's what's going on. If you were to look back at the beginning of chapter 15, you would see this. The religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees, had come after Jesus. They had heard about his reputation and they wanted to take him down. And so what they did was they set up, as they do many times throughout the gospel accounts, they set a trap for Jesus. And the trap they used was their own traditions, man-made rules. And they were imposing this on other people. And what they did here was they called out his disciples for not washing their hands. It's not because they cared about their health and well-being that they wanted them to wash hands. It's not that they don't want them to get sick. It's that they were imposing their rules, their traditions. In fact, if you were to type up how many rules they had about washing your hands, you could fill 65 pages of rules on washing hands. I don't know how many ways there are to wash hands, but I know there's not that many. 65 pages. Goodness gracious. These were traditions. These were extra rules. And mostly these rules were external practices that the religious elite tried to follow as well as impose them on other people. And not only were they imposing these traditions, they were also making their traditions equal with the Word of God. So Jesus was quick to call them out in their sin. Look at verse 3. Matthew 15, verse 3 says this, "And Jesus answered them, 'Why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition?'" Again, they put traditions on par with God's word, and all this leads to a short illustration Jesus gives in verses 11 through 14. Go with me there. Jesus says, "It's not what goes out of the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth." It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person. It's what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person. Verse 12, "Then the disciples came and said, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard you say this?' And he answered, 'Every plant,'" he doesn't seem fazed, "'every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone, for they're what? Blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, they will both fall into a pit.'" Simply meaning, these religious leaders are not God's chosen leaders. These religious leaders are not God's teachers of his word. These men are empty of the truth of God when it comes to following him and loving him and having a personal relationship with him. They could care less about those things. They care more about them looking good and them imposing their rules on people so that they can be seen right amongst each other. This is what they're concerned with. So don't follow them. Otherwise, you too will fall into this pit. Now, the first thing I want you to see this morning is that what we say and what we do comes from the heart. Go to verses 15 through 18. It says here, "But Peter said to them, 'Explain the parable to us.' And he said, 'Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes through the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person.'" First off, why does Jesus ask Peter this question that he does in verse 16? Why does he ask him, "Are you also still without understanding?" The reason Jesus asked this question is because the disciples had been with Jesus for so long, and they should know when he was speaking about motives in the heart. Motives in the heart. They would have heard this over and over and over again, that Jesus was stressing it's more important to know someone's heart than for them to follow all these rituals, all these traditions, and all these practices. Jesus is concerned about our heart, church, and he knows it. By this time, the disciples should have known. Yet Jesus is what? He's gracious and he's loving. And so he explains this to them. Look at verse 17. He says, "Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes through the stomach and is expelled?" Let me pause there. You guys know this experience. We got a few places you can have that experience on campus. So I'm going to just keep moving. Food goes in the stomach, and it, you know. All right, verse 18. Verse 18 says, "But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person." Which goes back to the point I want you to see, that what we say and what we do comes from our heart. Now, we all have the tendency to make judgment calls on external appearances. There's something our men here at the church do every year during New Year's, and it is our annual football game over at Briarhill Middle School. Now, the first time I ever got picked up, I got picked up pretty early on. So I had these guys fooled. The next time we played, I didn't get picked up pretty early on. I was towards the end because they knew I was a basketball guy, not a football guy. And this kind of defense doesn't translate when you're guarding someone on the football field. They'll just run right past you. What is this guy doing? Is he a robot? So, needless to say, I fooled these guys because I appear to be youthful. And I appear to maybe be decent at football, not so much. And I think it's really easy that we can all make judgment calls based on external appearances. And this is what the Pharisees were doing. This is exactly what they were doing. Their idea of holiness was a strict commitment to traditions of cleanliness and other man-made laws. This is where they were focused. But their hearts, while they looked holy, their hearts were far from God. And long before the Pharisees came on the scene, the prophet Isaiah said words to the people of Israel about this very same matter. And Jesus quotes this in Matthew 15. Isaiah 29 verse 13 says, "And the Lord said, because this people draws near with their mouth and honors me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men." It's almost as if Isaiah knew the problem with mankind. We have a tendency to appear holy when really in our heart of hearts, we may not be there. The Lord knows our heart. And what I want us to see here is that it's so easy to do. It's so easy to fake it till you make it. It's so easy to fit right in. It's so easy to act like you're really there. But what God really desires is not sacrifice. What does God desire? What does he say in the scriptures? He desires brokenness. And that's where God works. When we see who we really are and see who he really is, and yet he loves us anyway, God works on that heart and leads us to the truth, and the truth will set us free. God hates false worship. God hates false worship. And I want to speak for a second, not to you, but to anyone who leads congregations in false worship. And I want to tell you why God hates this so much. It's not that someone is just kind of missing the point. It's not that someone is, ooh, they're so close, they almost got it right. It's that they're week by week by week walking hand in hand with the enemy, teaching what is not true about the most important thing anyone can know. And that is, who is God? That's why the prosperity gospel and the word of faith movement and any other false teaching or any other cult group that's out there teaching people about God is so evil. Because they're teaching the most important thing that they're emphasizing is about God, and they're teaching people the wrong view of God and the wrong way to God. It's so evil. And yet people week by week are walking hand in hand with the enemy. And this is what the Pharisees were doing. They were not displaying the character and the love or the personal relationship with God. They were keeping the people in the dark. And here's what Jesus nicknames the Pharisees. If you were to go to Matthew 12, 34, you would see that Jesus says, "You brood of vipers. How can you speak good when you're evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." You heard what Jesus called them? Vipers. And when Satan was cast out of heaven to earth, he took on the form of a snake. A viper. A snake. Who someone is truly comes from their heart, and their life is a demonstration of the state of their heart. You know someone by their fruit, and all that comes from the heart. Who we say, or what we say, and what we do comes from the heart. So here's the second thing I want you to see this morning. The second thing I want you to see comes from verses 19 through 20, which is the motives of the heart can lead to sin. Motives of the heart can lead to sin. Look back with me at verses 19 through 20. It says, "For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone." All this goes back to the condition of our heart. We are by nature, as the scripture says, children of wrath. Our heart is bent towards sin. So when we see someone that doesn't know Jesus and we see good works, we should be more surprised than if we see sin. Why? Because we are sinners, and out of our life comes who we are on the inside. This is all because of original sin. Paul says in Romans 5:12, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all have sinned. Meaning Adam, when he was tempted, did not take responsibility well and man up for his family, but he allowed for sin to come into the world. And because sin came into the world, it affected every single one of you that's seated right here. Sin affects us all. And it affects every generation. And it will not stop unless someone more powerful stops it. Out of the sinful heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. So here's what he's saying. Our thoughts are corrupted. We don't understand life. We don't understand God. We don't understand each other like we should until Christ makes us new. Our hearts desire to kill people we hate. We want to free ourselves from difficult people. And at times your heart will get that dark that you don't want someone to exist. Our heart desires lust to feed our cravings. And there's lust of many kinds. Our heart desires to steal, to get what we want from unjust gain. Our heart desires to lie and deceive so we don't have to bear the responsibility of what we do wrong. Our heart desires to tear other people down to make ourselves feel better about who we are. Our heart's wicked, y'all. It's deceitful. Motives come from the heart and can lead to sin. And you don't even have to say anything or move a muscle to sin. It's in here. It's in here. Sin starts in the heart. Think about what Jesus said in Matthew 5:27. In Matthew 5:27, he says, you've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery in his heart. In his heart. It's all about the heart. Jesus, in our passage, look at verse 20. He says, this is what defiles a person. But to eat with unwashed hands, this doesn't defile somebody. This is not what defiles. Jesus goes back to speak to the legalism of the Pharisees. Because this is what they were doing. They were using legalism as a trap to make it seem like they were really sinning against God if they didn't obey these rules. These are man-made rules. And here's a little side note for us. I think we need to hear this because in church life, it's easy to jump on someone's case if they've done something questionable. So here's what I want to throw out there to you. If someone has done something questionable, what we need to do, and I do mean questionable, not blatant. Like I'm not saying if someone cusses, mocks, breaks someone down, says something horrible behind their back, that we should just say, I wonder what their motives were. No, we need to call that out for what it is. But I'm saying if someone does something questionable, what we need to do in love is approach that person and have a conversation with them. Because there are churches all around the country, behind the scenes of church staff, that get broken down because of dissension and quarreling and gossip and all this stuff that does not build the church of Christ up. Come to one another in love because Christ has called us to be built up. And that's an open invitation. If there's anything I have said, not done, please. Please come to me and say, hey, Matt, this is what I saw. This is how I took it. Can we have a conversation? Yeah, I'm open to having those conversations. We need to be built up and also honest with each other too. This is huge. This is so, so big. So let's not be people who are quick to judge. Now, if you want to see the heart fully on display, I want to tell you somewhere to go. Go work in fast food. About 10 years ago, I worked at Chick-fil-A in Houston. And there's a few different moments while I worked there. I just saw stuff that I'm still to this day shocked by. One time, someone came through drive-thru. They had their order. We had the bag ready for them, handed it to them. And next thing I know, that bag is whizzing by my head, coming back through the drive-thru window. What is going on? I look at this person. They're losing their mind, saying, "You forgot the chicken strips." Wow, chicken strips, huh? We can get those, okay? Another occasion. The other occasion that happened was I'm on my headset taking an order, and the first thing I hear once I say, "Hey, it's a great day at Chick-fil-A. This is Matt speaking. How may I serve you?" Got it down. They say, "Hey, I'm looking here on your menu. Where are your Big Macs?" I'm like, I look at my logo on my shirt, check the menu. "We don't have Big Macs. You got to go down the street for that." And they were upset. And I was like, "I'm sorry. Literally the motto is like, what? Eat more chicken. You missed it. I'm sorry." But not only do you get these kind of reactions, but you also see how happy people get when they get those hot waffle fries and that chicken sandwich. Yeah, yeah, amen. Yes, sir. If only it was open on Sunday, right? Motives come from the heart and can lead to sin. Motives do. So what do we do with all this morning? Well, here's the first thing you can apply to your life based on our text today. The first thing is that we all need to examine our own heart, and we need to do this often. Now, what does that look like? Examine my own heart, because I'm not a doctor. What are you talking about? Well, just in case you zone out for a second, the heart is the seat of the thought and will of mankind. It is what where your desires come from. So how do you examine your heart? Well, the scriptures have a way to do this. If you were to go to Psalm 43, verse 5, it says this: "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." You see what the writer of this psalm is doing here? He's looking within his own heart. He's observing his feelings and talking to those feelings. This is a heart conversation. There's hard conversations you have, but this is a heart conversation. Observing what's going on internally and speaking to it. And this doesn't just include feelings, but it also includes beliefs, motives, and desires. Now, here's another way to do it. Not only can you look within and have a conversation with your own heart, but you can invite other people into your life to have those conversations. And I would suggest to you, invite another believing friend or a spouse to have these conversations with. And ask them questions. Even just starting the conversation by saying, "Hey, would you mind if we talk through some motives that I have in my own heart? Would you mind just taking a second to talk through like beliefs that I'm really struggling with?" And just talk through them. And then take that to the Word of God. And I'll even throw this out there. Google Scripture. That's not cheating, y'all. There's a website called Open Bible. And you can Google Scripture on the heart. You can Google Scripture on my struggle, whatever that struggle is. And it will bring up Scripture. You can go through line by line and hear the word of truth. And when you hear that, God can renew your mind and focus you on the truth. So have heart conversations. Examine your heart and do this often. The other reason you need to have these conversations, as I said earlier, is that your heart is deceitful. There's sometimes you have these conversations like, "Oh man, I'm good. My motives are pure. I'm right." But look at what Jeremiah 17:9 says about the heart. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately sick. Who can understand it?" This is all the more reason to ask another believer to speak into your life and talk about the Word of God. Second thing you can do, this is especially if you've been in church for some time. Check your heart for any legalism. The longer you are in church, the easier it is to get legalistic. Here's what legalism is. Legalism is adding to Scripture rules and regulation that God does not require of us. And not only do we add, but it's also enforcing that on other people. This is what the Pharisees did. Case in point, we have this example in Scripture. This is what they were doing. And what they were not doing was they were not focusing on the most important thing, a relationship with God. Here's another quote from Dr. Thomas Constable from DTS. He says, "The Pharisees and scribes had become so preoccupied with externals that they failed to deal with the more basic, important things, namely a genuine relationship with God." The Pharisees weren't focused on this. They were missing it. And if we are examining our heart, many times this kind of stuff will come out. So here's a helpful tip. When it comes to our faith, if you cannot cite Scripture or principles from God's Word on rules to live by and follow, you may be living by some legalistic principles. If you can't find Scripture to point to something you're living by or enforcing on someone else, and this is when it comes to faith, you may be living out some legalistic tendencies. But we can't know this unless we examine our heart and see what's really in there. So let's take this to the Lord and let's have these conversations with one another. Let's have these conversations and ask questions. Let's have these conversations, and if we're in the wrong, we'll take ownership of it and be more like Jesus at the end of the day. Here's a third thing. If you are not a believer here today, that means trusted in Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. The Bible says that your heart, the current condition of your heart right now, is a heart of resistance towards God. In fact, the Bible's very clear on this in Ezekiel chapter 36. It says your current condition is a heart of stone. Ezekiel 36, 26 through 27 says, "And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I'll put within you, and I'll remove the heart of stone and from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and will cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." What does this start with? What does all this start with? When it comes to us and God, it all starts with a relationship with God. Once the relationship with God happens, Christ indwells us. When we believe in all that Jesus did, his perfect life for us, his death on a cross to pay for sins, and his resurrection to conquer sin and conquer death, once we receive that into our life, this becomes a personal relationship with God. So personal that God indwells us. And we have the Holy Spirit walking with us all of our days. This is what happens. And God takes that heart of stone and gives you a heart of flesh that's moldable to who he is. Because before Christ, we're resistant towards the Lord. We're resistant with gathering as the church. We're resistant to walking in obedience with him. This is God's heart for all people, that they would know him, love him, and enjoy him. So right now, we're going to enter into a time of response. This gives everyone and anyone, if you're watching online or if you're here in person, a chance to respond to the good news of Jesus. And what's going to happen is Jim Crouch and myself will be down front, and we want to receive you and have conversation with you about who Jesus is and how to follow him. And if you're watching online, what you can do is text the word decision to the number at the bottom of the screen. And we want to reach out with you. We want to reach out to you and talk about what it means to walk with Jesus. Would you stand with me here as we go to the Lord in prayer?